Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. That's Sarah over there.
It's me.
And that's Chris over there.
It's good to be back.
It is very good to be back, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Now, adulthood happens to us all. Whether it's a particular moment or something that happens gradually, at some point in our lives, we transition from childhood to adulthood. For some, it's an age thing. For others, it's a stage of life thing. But today, we're asking this question. When do you truly become an adult? A nice, easy one on our return from our summer break.
So I think it's when you have some sort of dependent. I don't necessarily mean a child. It could be a child. But it's more that there is someone or something that relies on you. So,
like a pet.
Could be a pet.
Can't be a goldfish. That's too easy.
Surely. Oh, no, I mean, come on. Yeah. Like, yeah, okay. Like a cat, a dog, maybe a rabbit. Uh-huh. Like, I think when you're solely responsible for the care of it, like, I'm not talking like you're a kid with a gerbil. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because ultimately your parents will still back you up with that.
Exactly.
One.
They're not going to let it die. But
unless
also,
they're really hard parents who are like, you're going to learn the hard way when that animal
can
dies.
You imagine?
Yeah. The sentient being is no more because you're irresponsible.
Oh, that's horrible. That would, you would
did you learn your lesson?
Quickly. Yeah, you would grow up quickly, wouldn't you?
It's the school of hard knocks.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Grave will be writing about garden.
Oh my goodness.
When you have to bury your own pet.
That's
when you're an adult.
It is a very strong restart of Answerable Questions in which we're talking about death so early on. So, okay, Sarah, that is interesting. I never thought about that. What if somebody, you know, is single all their life and is not bothered about having a pet?
What about plants?
Well, I didn't think about the plants you've got.
Well, because I don't have a pet, I don't have a child, uh-huh. But I do have a lot of plants.
Okay.
And does that make you feel like an adult?
Yes. Honestly, like when we first started chatting about this question, my first thought, and I thought, no, I can't say this, but I'm going to share
my
it with
babies.
You. I trust you guys, is when you get interested in plants and gardening. Because firstly, it means you're now boring.
Yeah.
And
secondly, I know.
You've given up on...
You've got me back on side,
rely on
to be
you.
Fair.
They rely on you to stay alive.
Yeah, you have got me back on side with that. Not in the way I think you intended to get me back on side, but I
isn't
am
that there. Always the way with us, Marcus?
Chris, what about you? When did we become adults?
What? When you first have to sign a contract for something legal.
Ooh.
That feels like a big one. So it could be your first... You've rented a home, a flat or a house or, you know, wherever you live. I definitely feel like that's the moment you're like, this is on me now. Legally, this is on me. Before we came on, Marcus, you were talking about buying a car. And I think those massive purchases is also like, whoa.
They're milestones.
If this goes wrong, my mum and dad might not be able to bail me out here, as well they could with a gerbil.
Yeah,
that's very true. That's very true.
So, yeah. So for me, it feels like when you've signed something and you're responsible legally.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think, it's sort of painting a picture, isn't it? Because it's funny, I think that does reflect people's attitudes towards adulthood in this day and age. Because neither of you just went, well, you become an adult when you're 18 or 21.
No
or
way.
Whatever it may be. Because, of course, years ago, some people may still think this, but I don't think, my guess would be, not that many people think it's 18 anymore. But years ago, it was 18. You become an adult. You could go to pubs. You can vote. You'll have definitely left school by that point, possibly earlier, but certainly by that point. And you were an adult fending for yourself by the age of 18. Because I remember my grandparents who, you know, died a number of years ago now, but certainly they were of the mindset of 18, you're an adult. You should, you know, get out the house. I mean, my nan left school on the Friday and was in work on the Monday. And that also does reflect the jobs market and the different, completely different climate for a number of reasons, of course, back in those days. But there's a little odd bit, though, with regards to sort of the teen years. Because I found this article in 2013, it's not that long ago, in the BBC, which was titled The Strange Status of 16-Year-Olds. And the opening line reads, "The age of 18 is widely accepted as the start of adulthood." So that was in 2013 that was written. But those 1 or 2 years younger occupy a strange twilight zone where they are given many freedoms and responsibilities but denied others. At the age of 16, you can live on your own, get married.
Oh, that blows my mind.
Yeah, married at 16. No. Pay taxes and serve in the forces so you can die for your country. But you can't vote and you can't legally drink alcohol in a pub.
Not being allowed to vote, but being allowed to go and, as you say, die for your country blows my mind.
Yeah. I find that utterly extraordinary that... And I'm not saying... I don't think 16-year-olds should be allowed to legally sort of drink in a pub. But I... don't think they should probably get married at their 16. I don't know.
No.
Just,
So it's like you can get married, but you can't have champagne at your wedding.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You can have a toast with a glass of squash. Like,
yeah, maybe there's some loophole, perhaps. Bucks Fizz. You can have Bucks Fizz at your wedding. Sorry, Chris.
It's like there's no overarching strategy. It's just like when things pop up, there's a like finger in the air, arbitrary.
Yeah.
You think that'll work. Or it used to be, didn't it used to be 21 when you were considered an adult? And then it felt like you used to get a key or something at 21, almost like, yeah, you're responsible to the house. And nowadays that got lowered to 18. And as you said, then things just... It's just after that, it just feels like it's a random guess. What is the age of driving now? It used to be 17.
It is
17, I believe.
In this
country, still, so it's like, as you said, so you can drive, you can drive a vehicle,
yes,
with your life at stake and others, but you can't have a beer or something like that. It just feels a bit.
Well, you can.
Why don't you make it everything the same age?
Well,
smoking, voting, drinking, dying for your country.
Smoking is now 18. It was when I was growing up. It was 16, I think.
I didn't know it changed, actually.
Yeah,
I thought,
they've put that up.
But that is a fair comment, Chris. I mean, I think that sometimes the law... The law sometimes will reflect, you know, the realities of what people get up to and so on. So, but I know what you mean. But with drinking, yes, it's 18. And I think that's probably about right. But when you say that you can pick someone who... according to the contract you sign when you get married, that is your life partner, the person that you will be with until you die. Now, obviously, doesn't statistics back it up that doesn't always happen? But that's the contract. That's the sort of intention of what you're doing, and you can then drive around the place. But yes, if you're caught having a pint in a pub and you're under 18, then you're in a bit of bother. In fact, a lot of pubs nowadays, you need to be over 21, just they really, really want to make sure. But I think the age of adulthood has been raised subsequently. I think 18 is quite a long time ago. I think 21 became, maybe in the 90s perhaps, I don't know, that was the age of when you became an adult. And I think that's actually increased now.
I don't know if I told this story before. I remember when I was growing up in a town in Devon, and to get served, you have to buy, even though they knew you were underage, they made you buy a pint and a Coke. And if the police were to come in, you had to say the pint was already on the table, but the Coke is what I purchased.
That's class.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt, since then, The Inbetweeners has come out, and I'm watching that episode, the first one, where they're trying to buy a whole meal just to get a pint of cider. I'm like, oh, yeah, we used to do that. And actually, I think they just used to scam us to get more money out of us.
That's amazing. That is, yeah, that's like it's like prohibition or something, you know, back in the States. Everyone's like,
having a cup of tea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's, burst into the pub at like 10:30 and everyone's raucous. We're like, everyone drinking Coca-Cola here? Okay.
Yeah.
High on the sugar.
You know, it's full fat.
Check under the tables. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's Friday night, Chris. It's Friday night for crying out loud. Yeah, I think, Sarah, I think that 21 became a bit of a milestone in an age where people became adults. But I think it depends where you are geographically. Even within this country, I think in, say, where we live in London, there's definitely an extended adolescence phase.
Oh,
and I think, you know, people, I think 30 might be it for some people. Some people might find that ridiculous in other parts of the country, or indeed maybe other countries. And people are, what are you talking about by the time you're 30? Some people are married, they've got kids, all that sort of stuff. But I think in somewhere like London, not all the same, but you can find lots of people, myself, you know, obviously, you know, I'm married now, but 30 is doesn't feel much different to, say, 25, 26.
Well, speaking as the baby of the group who turned 30 this year...
Yes.
I definitely think it's only in the last couple of years I have started feeling like an adult. I definitely, I think, in my mind, was still sort of a student.
Mm. Yeah, I know,
like, even though, you know, I've been working for many, many years now, and, you know, I've paid my own rent, and I am an adult. I've been an adult for a long time. But yeah, I definitely didn't feel like one. I just sort of felt like I was kind of just bumbling along, kind of doing my best, but I certainly didn't see myself as an adult. I do now. Part of that, I think, has coincided with finding grey hair.
On yourself or other people?
Yeah.
On my... well, in my food. Also, my goodness, the other night I was at some drinks and I was chatting with a woman I'd not met before, and she was 25 years old. And we were talking about, I can't remember, we were talking about work or something, and attitudes around work. And she said something, and she said to me, "Oh yeah, I feel like maybe it's a bit different for your generation."
Oh, painful. Like,
I saw you tweet that out.
I was so shocked.
You took to Twitter.
I had to take to Twitter because I was like, "You're 5 years younger." I didn't say this. I was just too shocked to say anything. I was like, "She's 5 years younger than me, but she
listen here, young lady,
generation above." Honestly, I couldn't.
Let me tell you, you youngsters have lost respect for people like me.
Yeah,
I am not old.
Did you feel that she disrespected one of her elders, Sarah? Is that what upset you the most?
No, it was more that. So, you know what? It's coming back to my mind. I think I was giving her some advice about a tricky situation at work.
Oh, yeah.
And I think she's almost thought like, oh, you know, she's older and,
wiser.
She's wiser.
Grayer.
Yeah.
You know, got more experience.
More grey hair.
Honestly, she could obviously see the greys in my fringe.
Yeah.
But,
That was shocking. I think generation.
That's probably a good moment. Not a good moment. That's definitely a good point to be like, oh gosh, I'm not as young as I thought.
It was
I was
a turning point.
Young
and it was
people
like,
are like, you're
there
old.
There is a younger person looking to me. You know, I think that might be a thing. It's like, there's a younger person asking for my advice.
Yep.
Because in the past, like I've always been mentored, or, you know, I've been going to older colleagues or friends for advice. And suddenly I was
like Marcus,
oh my goodness,
and I.
Always go to you guys for advice.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh no! I thought you meant like us, that we go to people because we
you guys are definitely adults.
Oh no, there's no doubt about that. I've tried to hide that for many years, but I think just on that point, a sort of side point about generations. I think generational gaps are much shorter now, largely because of technology. I would say I've not sort of really formed this opinion, but I'll give it a go, damn it all.
Externally process on air.
I've made a career out
of it. That's what the show's for, really. It's just a big therapy session.
Exactly. Cathartic Marcus's show.
But I think it is sort of due to technology, because if you think about years ago, generational, there's sort of, as you said, milestones and certain things. And I think in the late 60s, when you could argue youth culture was really kind of invented, maybe, that's when somebody growing up lived in quite a different period or sort of climate, if you like, to those who their parents' generation. But I think technology just moves us on at sort of a too quick a rate, which is why I think perhaps, well, in your generation, you know, you don't know what TikTok is, that sort of thing, or whatever, you know, some sort of thing like that. But yeah, it's a funny one. The idea is, often this gets banded around, that people are growing up too quickly or too slowly, I find. Because we've just sort of suggested this idea of extended adolescence, that people are growing up too slowly. But then some people argue, because again, maybe because of technology or whatever, that teenagers know too much or they're exposed to too much, and therefore they grow up too quickly. And so
you can't have
sure
it both ways.
Well, exactly. It kind of, you know, and I found that actually the thought of it, that's kind of knowledge versus experience, I would say, because again, if you go back 30 or 40 years, people leaving school at the age of 14 or 15, they're getting married by 18, 19, 20. They've got three kids by the age of 24. They're paying taxes. They are very much a part of society. I mean, that, if that suddenly became the lie of the land in, say, 10 years' time, that generation or whatever, that's how they were behaving. We would be like, whoa, you are growing up way too quickly. Mm. Why don't, you know, none of you have discovered binge drinking? What's the matter with you?
The kids aren't binge drinking anymore.
No, they're not actually.
They're not.
I listen.
They're a disgrace to their nation, quite frankly. But says the non-drinker. But yeah, so, you know, you have that, which we would think that would be crazy. You're growing up way too quickly.
Yeah.
But actually, naivety, if that is the right word to use, or a lack of knowledge about certain subjects or certain experiences, I don't think is an indicator that you're growing up too sort of quickly or slowly.
Well, no, my mum and dad got married at 19 and 21. And then they saved up and bought their first house, I think, when they got married. And as you said, back then, that was kind of more the norm. And then you have another two generations who, like, we didn't want to grow up, Marcus. You and I didn't want to grow up till, like, we definitely were happy in our 30s.
Yeah, totally.
Still not being responsible about anything other than our own selves.
It was great.
And as you said, actually, if kids now started to get married at the age our parents did, or, you know, you'd be like, oh, this is, something's gone wrong here. But it's actually just a perception, I think, of just a couple of generations, which is ours. And you know, we're borderline Gen Xers and millennials, aren't we?
Well, so, people often say, oh, yeah, don't get married too young, or don't get, you know, what reminds me of that Special song, you know, you've done too much, much too young, you're married with a kid when you should be having fun with me, you know, that was written in what was probably the late 70s, early 80s, something like that. I mean, it's interesting. I think but buying houses, when you said, you know, they bought their first house and so on, again, it's what people can do. I mean, the average age of leaving home in the UK now is 25. For both men and women. Yeah. If I, honestly, my nan would find that laughable. Absolutely laughable. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Like, 25. She would, you know, that generation would be like, how are you still in that? I'd be climbing the walls. I'd be feeling useless. I'd feel I'm not contributing to society. It's so different.
But they could buy a house, couldn't they? They could.
Yeah.
They just had to do it.
Yeah,
but like,
I was gonna say,
could be on a perfectly normal salary, and alone, you could save up, you could get your little deposit, and you could get a mortgage and get your nice house. Whereas, like, now, unless you've got money from somewhere, you know, someone's died or something like that, you've been given money.
Yeah.
You can't buy a house on your own.
Oh, it's madness. No. It's absolute madness.
And in certain cities of which we belong, I think I saw something once, you need an income of 90 to 100 grand a year to buy a house in London.
That?
And that's maybe combined, but either way, like, let's say there's two of you on 50k a year, that takes a few years to get up the career ladder to start to earn that sort of decent cash. So, said, Sarah, like, it was, my dad was an apprentice builder, and my mum, I think she worked for the fire service. Like, they didn't have, like, they weren't, you know, lawyers, but yet they could still, you know, they saved hard and they worked hard and they did all that, and then they saved up for a deposit, but they could do it. It's just not possible with the way that the economy and the world is nowadays. Yeah. Unless you get a leg up, it's hard.
I think it feeds into sort of both your points at the start, that because you mentioned signing contracts or sort of legal documents, that's when you're an adult. And Sarah, you spoke about being responsible for things. Mm. Well, I understand you meant that for sort of sentient things and a plant sentient?
I don't think they're
living. Conscious, are they?
No, they're not. Even though Prince Charles might suggest they are. God bless him. But it's a harsh. He's often derided for that. I think he's all right, old Charlie. But but if you have a house, you know, you're responsible for this thing, and you do have to look after it and so on and so forth. Well, you don't have to, but it's obviously well within your interest to do so. But of course, you have to sign some pretty beefy contracts before you do it. You're like, crap, I haven't made the wrong decision. So buying a house, I think, is a huge one for people. Like, that is an enormous milestone for a lot of people. And marriage and, I think, houses, you know, obviously the two kind of go hand in hand, or they certainly did yesteryear. But according to the Office of National Statistics, the average age for a man to enter their first marriage this was in 2013, was 32 and a half years old.
Wow.
And it was 30 and a half years for women across England and Wales, which is an increase of almost 8 years since 1973.
Wow.
So again, that shows you, so you have society essentially dictating on one hand what's going on with regards to people growing older and these sort of milestones. But then, get this, puberty is considered to start, obviously, when the brain starts releasing a hormone that activates certain glands and the body goes through its changes and all that sort of weird stuff happens. That used to happen around the age of 14. But because of improved health and nutrition in much of the developed world, that is now around the age of 10. So countries such as England, you know, in industrialized nations and what used to be called first world countries, you know, developed countries and so on, the average age for a girl's first menstruation has dropped by 4 years in the past 150 years. Wow. So you have society is not just dictating your kind of emotional and well, not emotional, your kind of you know what you can do in sort of in a monetary sense, you know, can you buy the house, you know, is it all that sort of stuff, emotional, you could argue with marriage and so on, but physically it's also had an approach. I find it's just a three,
and that's down to good diet good health
and nutrition and you know, health services improved and so on, which is kind of like
mental.
Isn't that crazy?
I
wonder how that plays out. Sorry, Sarah, go on.
On a related note, I was going to say, I was thinking about this as you were talking, Marcus, about, you know, saying marriage. I don't think having a baby means you're an adult. You know, being a parent does not necessarily make you an adult.
Sure.
But there was definitely a point that I hit when I was like, oh, wow, where I realized that I was of the age where if I got pregnant, I wasn't going to be a heavy air quotes young mother. You know how it was sort of like, I realised it wasn't going to ruin my life anymore. It wasn't going to be like, oh no, everything's derailed. Like, I hit a point where I was like, yeah, I can make that work. That's all right. I'm not worried about it. Yeah. And when my friends, because I had a couple of friends who was like, ooh, they're a bit young. I wonder if that, you know, I know it's harsh, but there's always those conversations of, do you think they meant to have the baby? And when you hit the point where, like, you just assume it was all of them were doing on purpose, you're like, "Oh, we are adults now."
Yeah, I think
what's scary is I am. I remember being a teenager at my mum's 40th, and I'm 40 next year, and I have a 1 year old child, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh!" Like, he won't remember my 40th birthday, and yet I was setting up tables at my mum's. Like, that's a massive shift.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
that's really interesting.
I mean, I find it interesting you're a teenager at your mum's 40th because, again, I think, because my parents got married a little bit later in life and had children a little bit later, which obviously wasn't the norm back then. I mean, it wasn't like outrageous, but that was their journey. Obviously,
ahead of the time, weren't they, Marcus?
Sorry?
They were ahead of their time.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah. Perhaps.
Yeah.
But so my journey's actually been more similar to my parents, whereas, as you say, when you compare it to your parents, which I'm sure would be perhaps more commonplace than my journey or my experiences, it is quite something, really, isn't it? And I think the type of conversations that one has, that you suddenly start talking about, you know, your plants or mortgages or this kind of stuff, and you kind of go, well, bloody hellfire, you know, and you think it really is happening, and I think.
Yeah.
Because when I was, you know, when I was still, I don't know, 20, 21, you know, you're getting into things, you know, really into, say, like the music scene, the sort of indie music scene it was at the time. And I used to think, you know, a band could change the world and it actually meant something. And because when you get older, you just think, yeah, no, don't get me wrong, still be into your music, still like all that. But yeah, like it really doesn't matter, you know, if their third album isn't that good or whatever it might be. You know what I mean? I think that is the perspective when you just see a little bit more of the reality, but then it is that kind of thing of the more you know, the less you know as well. That's that kind of acceptance of that as well.
You were saying, Marcus, about how 25 seems to be the age people leave home. Yes. Well, apparently that's the 25 is the general consensus amongst the scientific community of when your brain is fully developed.
Yeah.
And so, but that beggars questions about how you treat people under 25. Should they be as liable for breaking the law or whatever, like signing contracts and things like that as well? It's like, gosh, if that's actually when your brain is at maximum capacity or can start to make the proper decisions, then maybe 18 should be raised to 25.
Well, you're absolutely right, because the BBC reported, and this was only 3 years ago, that according to psychologists, the time you process from child to adult, you know, or adolescence, of course, as it's called, does last from the age of 10 to 24.
Wow.
Which is incredible. So yes, so 25 seems to be the kind of, now the perceived wisdom is that, as you say, Chris, that is scientifically the kind of the magic number, because the brain still continues to mature beyond the age of 20. And apparently the people's wisdom teeth coming through is a big marker of adulthood as well. And some people's wisdom teeth don't come through to the age of 25, which is, maybe that's why they call wisdom teeth. Yeah. But it is extraordinary. Yeah. But you're right. If 25, if that is actually the answer to this question, yeah, officially you become an adult at the age of 25, according, because when they go, well, it's psychologists and scientists as well. If you can prove this, and of course, Sarah, you know you're right. You've emotionally and sort of societal things, that and the other, blah 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 blah. But you're right, Chris. You know. Should policies change then? Some people argue that, say, youth support services should be extended until the age of 25.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, because it does seem strange that you hit 18, you know, for example, like people who grow up in care and things like that.
Yes.
You hit 18. And
that's
so,
right.
And like, you know, if you arrive as a child refugee, on the day you turn 18, suddenly you're you're an adult? Do you suddenly have a load of skills you didn't have the previous day? Like,
yeah.
It is, but that's quite interesting.
And you're not really prepared for being an adult through school. Said, like, you could be in education, you could be in care, and then you hit 18, right, you're out on your own, you're fending for yourself. And like, yeah. I have not been prepared for this. Yeah. Mm. Like, there's no preparation for it. But I guess in years gone by, there might have been your helping out around the home a lot more. There's different, very different culture at home or working, and you were maybe prepared for being an adult a bit more. Mm. But it feels a bit brutal now, as you said. Like, I know someone who's, you know, in care, and at 18, that was it. Out they go. Mm.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. I think 25 is, I think that again, it just gets older and older, the age. But I think 30 is a bit much to say you're an adult when you hit 30. I think that's too generous, personally. And as you're right enough, Chris, you know, I moved to London in my 20s, and I rode that glorious gravy train as long as I could. And I really did. And it just
they call that the Bakerloo line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas I think 25 sounds about right to me, because I think if someone says, if I ask someone, if you know, hit someone's 23, I don't really think of them as an adult. Whereas 27, yeah, I would. 20, do you know what I mean? It's a bit, look, football's my reference point, people, for crying out loud. If someone is 24, I still think them as a fairly young player. 25.
A prospect,
exactly. Yeah. 25, 26, it's kind of like, okay, pal, come on, need a few more goals out of you. Yeah. You know?
There's a tipping point, isn't there? And I think with the 25 thing as well, like, whether you decided to go to university or whether you decided to go into the trades or whatever, by 25, you've been doing your job for a while, or you've been to uni and trained it and then had a good 3-4 years in your job as well. So you're not like a young pup anymore. It's not your first job or your first year on the job. So you said, once you hit that 25, it's like, we expect
what you're doing
more now.
By the way, if you're 25 and you've no clue what you're doing with your life and you're listening to this, please don't worry. I had no clue until I sort of got into my 30s. But
same here.
But I know what you mean, though, Chris. I think, but it's not about knowing what you want to do with your life, because some people don't really sort of.
But like, if you went to a particular job, that's what I was thinking. Like, they would have had years of experience in that job. And then you're like, okay, you can do the job well. Like, you're not a kid in this job anymore.
Mm. Yeah, because if you've got a chance, if you choose to go to university, you'll finish, say 21, 22. If you could stay on longer, well, then if you're staying on longer, you're probably more of a vocational kind of course you're doing. You've had a chance to go traveling. You've had a chance to sort of piss around a bit. And then 25, like, I would say, I'd be surprised if you're not working or you haven't had any kind of work by 25. And I think that's quite generous. So contribute to society. You may not own a plant, Sarah, at the age of 25, but there's certainly some. You're well versed in driving, potentially, not everybody in London, drinking in pubs, and hopefully not, though. Hopefully not.
Don't smoke.
Can I give you a shocking statistic? Or not statistic, fact. In Alaska, you can get married at 14.
Blimey. I just think if you're getting married at 14, I think there's something dodgy going on.
Yeah. Spain only raised the age in 2015 from 14 to 16.
No.
That's in Europe. I mean, like, because you said you gave the average of marriage in this country, Mark, and I looked it up for globally. So I think globally, men are, or boys are 17, girls are 16. So there is a difference between regions. Mm. But the reason I chose Alaska and Spain is like, gosh, you're in what we would now call, you know, I don't know what we call it now, developed nations or whatever you call it.
Alaska's in America.
First world. I
it's a US state.
Exactly. Like, that's like similar to us in a way. And that's just like, wow. Like, I find America fascinating. You can get married at 14. You could buy a gun at 18, but you can't have a beer till you're 21.
Yeah. Crazy. Like,
Wild.
I'm glad you didn't use any reference points from the Netherlands, Chris. I think
that's all. Oh, okay.
I think they might, or is it Sweden? I forget where it's kind of like, yeah, that's too low. Or maybe it's been changed. I don't know. But the less said about that, the better.
I'm just really glad we landed on 25, you know.
We're on 25.
Like, we've solved this.
So you're like a five-year-old adult, Sarah, because you've only been an adult for 5 years.
Exactly, yeah.
So you're still young. Don't worry about what those kids in the pub say.
I think I'm a five-year-old adult. Yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
I think that's how we should refer to it.
Yeah.
How old are you? I'm 14.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So you've probably, you've got a car, you've got this, that, and the other. Fine. You can forgive people. Yes. I think we'll finish on a quote from Dr. Jan McVarish. A parenting socialist at the University of Kent got there and said that there is a danger, though, in extending our concept of adolescence. And Dr. Jan said, older children and young people are shaped far more significantly by society's expectation of them than by their intrinsic biological growth.
Hmm.
So there we are, you see.
That's a very good point.
There we are. Can't argue with Dr. Jan, as I always say.
I would never dare.
Indeed. Well, look at that. We've reached the end of the show. We've answered the question. It's 25. Ooh, Seldom do we get such a distinct marker or answer, but there you are. You're 25 or 26 and you're listening to this...
Grow up!
I'm very sorry to break it to you, but you are an adult. And if you're living in London and you're 26, then why have you not got a mortgage already, you slackers? You're a disgrace. Why have you not got a six-figure sum salary? You absolute losers. No, I'm joking, of course. So, thank you very much for listening. It's the first episode back from our summer break. We're well rested, but a pleasure to have you back. Thank you very much indeed for listening. If you want to get in touch, we're on Twitter at AQQAPod and Instagram as well. There we are. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks, Marcus.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thanks, pal.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.